Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Hey everybody, this is Lori.
And this is Abby.
And we wanted to welcome you to episode number 95, which is the last in our parenting series. Gosh, we hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as we did in doing it, right? The interviews were amazing.
Amazing.
We love parents. Love hearing their stories and hearing, you know, struggles to success.
Absolutely. Overcoming challenges.
It's been really, really fun. So I really hope that everyone has gotten everything out of it that we have. Enjoy today's last episode and come back next time for some new information. We're diving in with some really fun interviews. So you guys have a great day and enjoy today's last parent interview. All right. So today I am talking with Sarah. Her daughter Alyssa came through our office last summer. So summer of 22. So Sarah, thank you for being here today. Tell us a little bit about Alyssa and sort of some of the struggles you had seen and when they first started.
Well, Alyssa's 18 now.
Okay.
And I did have her tested when she was 17 in July of 22. But her struggles with math actually started in elementary school.
Oh, really?
In elementary school when she was in the third grade because she had straight A's in all classes except math. Math, when she was tested for gifted and talented, her math score is what actually kept her from being put into the gifted and talented classes.
Oh, that's frustrating.
It was just her math. Mm-hmm. Then when she got to middle school, she was still struggling. And me working with her at home, I knew she had a problem. I knew there was a problem. And me trying to work with her at home, I'm not good at math myself.
Right.
But it's just type, just this is probably a more personal reason because I'm a why person.
Right.
Why is it this? And math is so straightforward. But I could tell her at home to slow down. And I noticed that when she would say something, when she would be doing a math problem, I could look at it and she'd have it. Everything, she copied all the numbers correctly, just they would be out of order.
Oh, interesting.
Or if she was reading something, then she would read the numbers out of order. She knew our street address, but she would always say the numbers out of order. And it was always only numbers. It was never had anything to do with letters, or it was just numbers.
Did the school ever offer any support, like extra tutoring or, you know,
no.
Small groups, nothing.
Mm-mm.
Did they recognize the struggles?
She recognized a struggle. She did not. She had never heard of dyscalculia. Mm-hmm. Dyscalculia. But she had never heard of it. She just knew she had a problem with math. And she asked for tutoring when she was in fifth grade, I believe. She asked her math teacher to help her in class, and her teacher told her, well, there was an aide in there for an inclusion student, and the aides are allowed to help other students. And she asked the aide a question, and her math teacher said, she's not here for you. You can't ask her for help, which I found out later was very untrue.
Right.
But she asked her teacher if she could stay after for tutoring. How many children do you know asked that?
None.
None. Exactly, none. And she asked, and the teacher told her, if you didn't get it in class, why would I waste my time after school?
Oh.
And after the third time is when I made very well known for making unannounced visits. And I demanded she be moved. And when she moved, she actually got a teacher that actually clicked with her and actually helped allowed her to slow down and stayed after school with her to allow her. You know, it was more one because I was more or less, I was really involved that her teacher saw she was really, really doing her best. I always say, don't try, just do it. Your best is what you're doing.
Right.
And long as you're doing your best, it's always going to be enough. So her teacher would stay after everything. Her grades did improve, but it was just a struggle. And all her homework was always math, nothing else.
Wow.
And then when she got to high school, it was a struggle. Uh-huh. And I said, when she got to junior year, she was put in all AP honors classes and everything because the shutdown year she was virtual and she did so well online that even with the workload of like 10 classes.
Wow.
That, I mean, I put her in math. I mean, I put her in, she started doing orchestra. She plays cello. And I assumed that working with, you know, whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, that it would help her. Mm-hmm. I would put her in the kitchen and take her in the kitchen to help her, you know, fractions, cooking, baking, you know, thinking doubling, break, you know, cutting in half. That would help. And it helped, but it was a slower process. She always has to slow down. And her junior year, I started her tutoring, a private tutoring. And she stayed after school as well, but private tutoring with a really good tutor in Kingwood. And her tutor was like, she may actually benefit from a coding class. But even she never mentioned dysgraphia. I mean, not dysgraphia. I'm sorry. My son actually has dysgraphia. No, okay. And I know this, but he's grown. But dyscalculia. And dysgraphia is the least of her worries because she has excellent handwriting. But her tutor there didn't even know.
Really?
You know, she just knew she was slower.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And she just told her repetition, 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 you know, and she, you know, get it, which the repetition helped, but everything else she is like this for her. Everything. English, she's excellent. She could become a publisher or editor if she wanted to, but it just,
so did she take
it took
the
me finally saying,
SAT or ACT? Did she take those before
she
tested?
She took the TSI.
Okay. Oh, okay.
She took the PSAT and did not do that well. She took the, she never took the ACT. She never took the SAT. She only did the PSAT because they require it at school.
Right.
But she didn't do that well on the math portion. She did do the TSI and she scored well on all portions except the math. She took it 7 times and could not get, I mean, was always 1 or 2 points off. And so her junior year is when I took her to have her. I said, okay, the school didn't test for it.
So when we did the testing, obviously we did diagnose her with dyscalculia or you can say it several different ways.
Dyscalculia.
Yeah, whatever. You know,
I'll
what
just
I mean.
Say dyscalculia.
Math learning disability.
The lazy way dyscalculia.
And so then.
And I did not consider it a disability.
No.
I always say it's a learning difference.
Absolutely. So what happened after that for her?
It took her a while to get used to being allowed at school, her accommodations, which essentially all she needed was more time. Mm-hmm. She needed more time. And because of the sequencing and her spatial and perceptual, the visual portion of it, because at home, I could always tell her, okay, you're looking at it, write it down. Even if you're working on a computer, you know, your laptop, whatever. Write it down, say it out as you're reading it and writing it, and go back and say it out loud, because then she's making the hand, she has, she's using all of her senses.
Yes.
She's listening to herself. She's speaking to herself. She's seeing it. She's feeling it as she's writing it. So she would use it, but she can do it at home. But at school, it's a different story. And so once she was diagnosed, it took her a minute to be able to say, okay, these are my accommodations. And she began keeping her folder with her. Wherever she went, she kept her folder with her. We had her 504 right after school started. And because I already had the testing, it was much easier, because the only person that even had a clue as to what I was talking about when I emailed them about hurrying up to get it in place was the counselor. The diagnostician didn't even know what to do with it, because all the school district was used to was they have an actual dyslexia admin.
Right.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And trying to get them to understand it's not dyslexia. She has no problem with letters. She has no problem reading, writing, none of it. It's just numbers themselves.
So did the extra time then make a big difference in that senior year? And
yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Good for her.
Most definitely. She actually shot from the beginning of the school year. She was number 22 in her class. And by the time she graduated, she was number 15.
Wow.
And she graduated top 15% of her class. So she graduated with honors. I always say, girl, you look like you hung yourself with all those cords around your neck.
Right. Good for her.
And she got into, she was able, like she goes, UT was her top choice, UT Austin, because she wants to study medical laboratory research. And of course, something that requires nothing but numbers.
A lot of math.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So she, you know, she was like, mama, we have to take this. She got in first off. That was her number one choice.
Good for her.
And she was not an auto admit because she wasn't the top 5%. Right. But she wrote some awesome essays. She had 6 or 7 essays to do for the College of Natural Science for that particular program. And they were awesome essays. But I did tell her, I said, she's like, mama, we have to take this. I can't remember. They had their own essentially math test. Mm-hmm. You know, be able to place you in the correct science yep. and math, you know, the prereqs for all the lab and research courses that come sophomore, you know, junior, senior.
Right.
And I said, okay, you already have your folder. You have your 504 with the school district. I said, and matter of fact, she had already done with Lone Star, the junior college, that some of her classes, her dual credit classes through, you know, through the school district, they actually had already put in place. She already had her meeting, essentially her ARD with them.
Wow.
And they had already had her, you know, accommodations. And so she, I said, calm down, because she has real bad anxiety because of
sure.
it. Because she thinks nobody's going to let her do anything. I said, no. If they want to call it a disability, we'll let them call it a disability. But this is all you need is extra time. But you're not dumb. You're not stupid. You just learn different. None of us learn the same.
No. And so she didn't have any trouble getting accommodations at UT?
None at all.
Good.
She had her first, they told her because she hadn't passed her math TSI, they gave her this handful of just mess during freshman orientation that almost took her out because she didn't know what to do with it. And the dean of the college that she's in or the director of that program actually went back because they told her she couldn't take any of her sciences because she couldn't take her math yet because she didn't pass her math TSI yet. But the TSI office told her, well, we don't suggest you take it again. Because with all of her accommodations through Lone Star, I'm paying the $10 for her to keep taking the math portion. And she got all her accommodations, but she was just missing by 1 point on the test and the diagnostic portion. And they just told her, don't take it again. But they told her she couldn't take her math, you know, her calculus or her sciences, her chemistry and biology.
So what do you do?
And so, exactly. And just the way they handled everything, the second day of class, she ended up taking Dutch. She was like, I think I want to take Dutch.
Random.
I had enough Spanish. Yeah, exactly. Everybody's like, huh? Dutch? But she was like, yeah. She's like, I've had 4 years of honor Spanish. I know Spanish.
So what is she doing about the math?
Actually, the second day of class, I think because her program that she's in, they don't even have 200 students. It's a very small, very exclusive program, and it's actually hard to get into. And the director went back in. So because of it being so small, they're able to go in and individually look at each individual student and inquired as to why she was not registered in any classes that had to do with her major, and made an exception and said that they would take, she could take statistics along with developmental math. And he would accept that. That way, because technically come spring semester, because of the credits she already has, she'll be a sophomore.
Awesome.
So, you know, the second day of school, her schedule was changed. They asked her if she wanted to do it. And she said, I said, this is what you wanted, baby. So I said, hey, you know, your stars have aligned. This is what you wanted. So you'll be able to do your sciences and your math come next semester.
So how's it going this semester?
She's actually doing pretty well.
Good.
She's enjoying statistics, and she had her meeting with the Student Services Disabilities Office during the summertime.
Perfect.
And so all of her stuff, her letter and everything is already there. And all she has to do is submit it to her teachers, and her professors are very good about her statistics professor. You know, she goes to the testing center to do her testing, and she gets double time for her tests.
Wow.
And she just, you know, she's on top of her stuff to make sure that, you know, because timing is everything. And so, you know, scheduling a private room because one of her accommodations, because she likes to talk, because that's how, you know, she likes to speak out loud. She has to have a private room.
Right.
So she has to schedule ahead of time at the testing center.
Awesome.
And so she can, she's allowed to speak without, you know, disturbing anybody else or anybody hearing her. But it's taught her that she stays on top of everything. And yes, she struggles and she's like, but she actually, she's enjoying statistics and her developmental, the TA in there actually goes to the computer lab with her and does, and she goes to her office, you know, the professor's office hours every week, you know, just to make sure she's on track and that she stays on top of it. She doesn't like to get behind.
She's a perfect example of the importance of self-advocacy, right? Like being able, if you get out there and you advocate for yourself, you'll get what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hate that I had to, and I even asked the district, I said, okay, y'all don't test for this. Y'all test for dyslexia. I said, no, I took her and looking at her diagnostic, you know, her diagnostics, the entire, all the pages of it, you know, which I'm glad she was tested for everything. ADD, ADHD, you know, dysgraphia, dyslexia,
all of
it. The whole nine. And absolutely nothing. It's just numbers. The district doesn't, okay, you don't provide this testing, but I wasn't reimbursed. And I told her, okay, I won't get my money back. But guess what? In the end, I will be rewarded. You will be rewarded because, look, you got into the school you wanted to get into. You're in the program you wanted to get into. You're doing what you want to do with the, you know, just that little extra time that you need.
Right. That is awesome. I'm so proud of her. Absolutely. And I'm so proud of her for... I mean, there are so many kids that are scared to ask for that kind of stuff. They don't want to feel different. They don't want to stick out. You know, they just want to kind of go with the flow. But if you need it and it's going to help you, you got to ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was my whole thing. And I'm a LVN. I'm a pediatric LVN. That's why I told my patient, go outside and play with your little brother for a little bit. He's 16 and he has his own, you know, just, you know, ADHD. But, you know, just a matter of teaching him to open your mouth, speak up for yourself. Yeah, I'm here, but okay, you can open your mouth. You can ask if you need help. Say that.
Ask for what you need.
You have. Yes. Because essentially, if you don't ask, nobody's done it. Like, I'm your nurse. I'm her mom. If I'm truly paying attention, you know, being a parent, yes, I have this going on, that going on, that going on, but at the end of the day, I still have to pay attention to my child. And if I've learned that grades are not such a being, doing substitute teaching on the side just for like a brain break and talking with children and finding out where their heads are at and, you know, just listening to them when a lot of people don't, then there are more children out there that actually have, it's not dyslexia, the behavioral issues. It's really not ADD or ADHD. They're completely being misdiagnosed and mismedicated or even medicated at all when they don't need it. All they need is a little extra time because it's completely something, you know.
Yeah. Just the way they process.
Yeah.
That extra time is huge. And,
but they're being misdiagnosed because they get frustrated. They sit there. They do this. They start kicking. They start disrupting class because they don't get it. But they won't open their mouths to say, I don't understand.
Right. Right.
Or I'm struggling with reading or I'm struggling with my son, which I recognized later on. Like I said, he's grown now. He's 24. He struggled with writing. And his hand would cramp up. He would get severe headaches and just would not want to do it. Fortunate for him, he had a lot of teachers that actually worked with him and, you know, helped him. You know, he was taught programmed behavior modifications when he got frustrated. Put your head down, deep breathe, start over.
Right.
No amount, no triangle, occupational therapy, working with them, you know, on the pencil, all that kind of stuff. None of that worked.
Yeah. And that's not.
But I recognize it now.
Yeah.
I mean, even my oldest, she's 27 and she's realizing that she possibly does have dyscalculia herself because she was recently diagnosed with ADHD. And I said, I'm pretty sure you have it, but she's a registered behavioral therapist. And I said she works with autistic children doing, you know, behavior modifications and, you know, teaching ADLs. And I said, they probably rubbed off on you a little bit, but.
Probably.
Well, thank you for sharing. I mean, Alyssa's story to me is, A, it's never too late to get a diagnosis.
Never.
And just the power of self-advocacy and the changes that have taken place over the last couple of years as she's figured out exactly what's going on, given it a name, mm-hmm. and then has not been afraid to ask for what she needs. And I think that speaks, and she's going to go mm-hmm. very far, right? Like she's going to reach her dream. She can go as far as she wants as long as she continues mm-hmm. to advocate for herself. And I don't see that, you know, a lot of people will say that's a crutch or it's not fair, but it's just, it's gapping the, it's mm-hmm. just a bridge, right? It's just closing that gap between mm-hmm. what she should be able to do, but what's holding her back. And so it just gives her that little bit mm-hmm. of it levels the playing field.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Well, good.
And she doesn't allow it. You know, I told her it's not a disability.
No.
You just learn differently. I know I learn differently.
Everybody does.
You learn differently. You know, teachers learn differently from their students. So it's just a matter of just paying attention.
Yep. Absolutely.
Notice when what you're doing in class, you know, even with teachers, if you're teaching a class and you're teaching a specific subject, or doing something in particular, be it reading, writing, you know, whatever, math, and you see one student who just does this, then there's something there. It's just not their board.
Right.
It's just not their, you know, there's a different look between frustration and boredom. Right.
But even boredom should be a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of those should be red flags. Well, I agree. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day. I know you're busy and...
Oh, I'm not.
People waiting to see you, but I appreciate this. This is awesome. And hopefully, you know, our goal is to have other students that are in the same situation that are parents that will hear mm-hmm. this and think, okay, well, I think we, you know, we need to look into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Smart kids struggle. You can be incredibly bright and still learn differently. And that is okay. We just have to figure mm-hmm. out what that is and teach to the way you learn. So
it's okay for parents to say, okay, I tell my, like, even with my patient, with Alyssa, I'm like, I know math is my struggle. And I know it's just philosophical reason, because I'm always why. I need justification.
Yeah.
And just to say this is what it is because this is what
black
it is.
Black and white, right.
No. Yes. Mm-mm. But, you know, I'm like, I'm not afraid. Don't ever be afraid to say, okay, I can't do this. I need help.
Absolutely.
I need to find help for you because I can't do it. If I can't help you, I'm failing off as a parent. This is me personally. I know I'll be failing off as a parent if just because I can't help you, I don't find you help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's okay to ask for help.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most definitely. It's when you don't, that becomes a problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.